Jeremiah chapter 7 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. This passage is so serious. I'd ask you if you would to stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. The Word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. If there was ever a day we need a word from the Lord, it's the day that we live in. He told Jeremiah, he said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. How many is thankful for our forefathers in America? How many of you all, don't you lie to me this morning. If you've been taught differently and believed the lie, don't lie to me. But how many of you all believe America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles? Let me say this. The experiment does not work without God. It does not work without morality.
Amen.
It does not work without law.
Amen.
He said in verse 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, watch this. I was just reading along last week in my Bible. Watch this question. We are delivered to do all these abominations. God said, will you say that? Will you stand in my house and say, this is the reason we've been delivered, so we can do all these abominations? I hope you'll let that sink in this morning. It's amazing to me the parallels in the Scripture. All the Word of God is not written to us, but every word is written for us. And the Word of God said that these are in samples. Would you pray for me this morning? You can be seated. Pray that God would speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of the living God. Lord, Jeremiah was known and is today as the weeping prophet. When he looked around, Lord, and saw the condition of the nation, when he saw how far, Lord, that the people had drifted from the principles and the precepts of God's Word, it broke his heart. Lord, Jeremiah in one place was ready to quit. And God, he would have quit had it not been for the Word that was burning in his heart. God, there may be somebody under the sound of my voice today that's ready to give up. May the Word of God burn in their heart, Lord. Lord, may You call them this day to Yourself. And Lord Jesus, I pray today that in this service, God, Lord, You'd deliver me from preaching in myself and help me to preach in the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I pray today that the message would not fall on carnal ears, but Lord, would fall on spiritual ears. Lord, we have met little babies this morning that we've never met before. And God, only You know, Lord, what America will look like in their teenage years, their early 20s, if we don't have some kind of awakening. If we don't, Lord, see the hand of God working in our churches and working in our institutions once again. Help us now, Father, and I'll give You glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I want to call your attention this morning to a passage of Scripture and kind of just lay a little bit of groundwork. Here in Jeremiah is standing in the gate, and they're saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They've almost, and actually they have, they've made it kind of a superstitious place, because no longer were they going there to worship God. But beloved, they believed there was some kind of protection because the temple of the Lord was in their midst, and they believed that the temple of the Lord would never fall. Goes along with your Sunday school lesson, Brother Chris. They thought this place will never fall. The Word of God did say, let every man that standeth take heed lest he fall. I believe countries need to take heed. I believe families need to take heed. I believe churches need to take heed. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that Jeremiah has a warning for the people of God in his day that fits very well with our nation and what's going on in our nation today. Jesus, in the Word of God, said, if the Son, therefore, this is John 8:36, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sister Carrie talked about the old code and the new. Boy, I remember when Christ set me free, don't you? I'm telling you, beloved, you couldn't see the chains, but they had me. The biggest chain that was wrestling me down and keeping me from Christ was the chain of pride. Oh, I'm telling you, it's not a chain that's easily broken. But oh, hallelujah, when the Spirit of God works in a person's life, the chain can be broken. And we can find ourselves prostrate before the Lord and broken, because He said, I will draw near to him, nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. Amen. Beloved, I believe there's a sense of pride that's healthy, and I believe there's a sense of pride that's unhealthy. I have 11 grandchildren, and if you want to make my hat size go up a size or two, just start bragging on my grandchildren or my children. I have a precious wife. I have the privilege to pastor a precious church. I'm not ashamed of Bible Way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the God of heaven. And I'm not ashamed of the work that He's called me to do. Beloved, Jeremiah was a man that was not ashamed. He was willing to stand. Have you noticed, beloved, that in our generation that fewer and fewer and fewer are willing to stand. I'm telling you, beloved, they're rolling over. Amen. Compromising on every corner. Amen. With evil and with wickedness. The message is birthed in my heart because I would ask the question this morning, if Jesus set us free, and He did, everybody that's saved met Jesus in faith, that free means to liberate. It means to be exempt from moral or ceremonial or mortal liability. It means to deliver, to make free. The question in Jeremiah is being asked of the Lord to deliver the message. He said, are you going to stand in the house of God and say, we're delivered to do all these abominations? I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen. I hope before I get finished this morning that you'll understand what's in my heart, that you'll be gracious enough to listen. Amen. And try to ask God to help you to understand. I want to say this, we're not living in the day of prophets. God has given us the complete Word of God. Our job is not to prophesy. Our job is to preach the Word of God. Amen. But God has already told us some things that's coming upon this world. Amen. I don't have to guess about it. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, we're living in a generation where the Word of God is being watered down. And beloved, that people's ears are being tickled and they're not being told the truth of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God said right here in chapter number 7, the Bible said, trust not in lying words. The Word of God said, beloved, in verse number 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. I'm going to tell you this morning. One thing you can say for sure, honey, there's no lying words here. God, the Word of God said, who cannot lie. If you're reading the Word of God, the Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Pilate was looking at Jesus when he said, what is truth? And he was looking at truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. If you believe that and you preach that, you're accused of being narrow-minded. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I like being accused. Amen. Especially when it's the truth. Amen. There's only one way to heaven. Not two, not three, not four, but one. And that way is through Jesus, our Lord. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus set Pastor free so that Pastor could commit abominations? Did Jesus set you free from your sin so that you could commit abominations? You see, let me just share this with you. We use that word abomination. And by the way, beloved, I had a printout and I forgot it this morning where I printed it out off of my Bible program, what the actual definition of the word abomination was. But there was one word that stuck out in the definition that I remember, and it was the word disgusting. The word disgusting. Disgusting. And most of the time, beloved, when we think about the word abomination, we're thinking about the sin of sodomy. I try to use Bible terms. I'm not going to do like the whatever it is that stood up last week and made a commercial for North Face. You got anything that says North Face on it, I'd do a little research before I wore it anywhere. Stood up and said, I'm a homosexual. Proud of it. He, I reckon, dressed like a she. proud that he's a homosexual, going out into the woods. You say, Pastor, what's the matter with you? I'll tell you what's the matter with me. The Word of God said, be angry and sin not. I'm telling you, beloved, there's such a thing as a righteous anger. And if you've never learned that in the Word of God, you need to learn it. When Jesus went in the temple and, beloved, made him a scourge of small cords and drove him out of the house of God, he said, you made my Father's house a den of thieves. He took the tables and he overthrew them. Everybody wants the lovey-dovey, gentle Jesus. I'm telling you, there's another side of that God, beloved. And we're going to face Him. His holiness is not being preached. His judgment is not being preached. Because pastors are afraid somebody will sit on their $100 bill and will never... Let me tell you something right now, beloved. If Bible preaching causes you to sit on your $100 bill, sit on it. God's made it fine without it this far, and He'll make it fine till He comes. God's work. It's His. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His church. This morning, God didn't set us free so we could do what we wanted to. God broke that chain of pride because the Bible said God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace. Brother Grizzle, He gives grace to the humble. I've been in this thing since 1987, and I can tell you what happens and happens and happens and happens every day of my life. God gives grace. God gives grace. God gives grace. God gives mercy. God gives mercy. Why, preacher? Because He's taught me to walk with Him. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There's a God in heaven that wants us to fear Him and to walk humbly with Him. Pastor, why are you stirred up this morning? I am so glad you asked. You did ask, didn't you? Let me give you the title of the message this morning. I believe this would be a good place to stand while I give the title. Here's the title of the message. Is this what they died for? It's Memorial Day. Is this what they died for? Those of you a while ago that stood and have a loved one or a friend that has fallen in one of the wars. Is this what they died for? Did they die so a man in a woman's bathing suit can become the new record holder in the women's swimming competition? Oh, you say, preacher, you done got out in left field. No, I'm right on target. Lock it or lump it. Say amen. Is that why they died? So a grown man could put on a woman's bathing suit and be declared the champion. So a grown man could put on a woman's cycling uniform and be declared the cycling champion. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible still says male and female. God created them.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me this morning. I read this last week, and I mean, it really, I never even thought about it before. But did you know that when them monkeys got on the ark, it was a male monkey and a female monkey? Did you know if it wasn't a male monkey and a female monkey, there wouldn't be no more monkeys? You put two male monkeys on the ark, and you don't have any monkeys anymore. There's a male dog and a female dog, a male deer, a buck. I wonder if he had horns. And a doe. And if it wasn't a buck and a doe, then there'd be no more deer. Some of y'all, that'd be all right, but some of us would be sick. It was a gobbler in hand. You want to know why? Because God knew that two gobblers couldn't make turkeys. And two hens couldn't make turkeys. We're living in a society that's swiftly getting sicker and sicker and sicker every day. The question this morning is this why they died? So we can commit abominations in this country that we live in. Is that why they died? The Bible talked about lying words. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. You don't have to agree with me. But it's hard to tell anymore in the government who's telling the truth and who ain't. And you know what's really strange to me? When I was growing up, Happy, y'all didn't know her name was Happy. You think it's Haley. But honey, she's Happy. When I was growing up, Happy, and I lied to my mom or I lied to my dad, there was punishment coming for it. But nowadays, beloved, you can stand and lie to Congress, get caught in it, and nothing ever happens. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to do? I'm trying, beloved, listen, to get us to wake up and realize, Brother Jim, are you in here? Wherever he is back yonder, Brother Jones, thank you, men. I'm trying to get us to wake up and realize, beloved, if God's people don't wake up and God's people don't stand up, we can wake up one morning and not be free. You say, Pastor, that'll never happen. May I remind you that those people in Jeremiah's day said this temple will never fall. Let me ask you a question. Do you know enough Bible to know it fell? Is this what they died for? Did they die so young children can mutilate their body parts without even telling their parents? Is that what they died for? Is that what we call freedom? Isn't that something? You got to be 21 to buy something to drink. You got to be 21 to buy a gun. But they're pushing it on us, beloved. You can be 6 or 7 and decide whether you want to be a boy or a girl. And start taking drugs to turn it around. Start getting surgeries to turn it around. I'm telling you, beloved, male and female made he them. And he's still doing the same today. And I'll say this, don't get said much anymore. But beloved, I believe if you're a man, God expects you to look like a man. Act like a man. Talk like a man. Run your house like a man. And if you're a woman, you're precious. My grandpa had one of the greatest sayings about a woman that I've ever heard in my life. He said, if God made anything any better than a woman, he kept it for himself. Amen. God didn't give me the first Eve, but he did give me an Eve. And if you'll read your Bible back yonder, beloved, in the book of Genesis, it was Adam and Eve. Don't y'all tell Steve Lyons I said this, but it was not Adam and Steve. Is this what they died for? So the teachers and the professors and our education system can rewrite history? Is this what they died for so drag queens can be introduced in our young children's classrooms? Is that what they died for? Is this what they died for so a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman? Is this what they died for so a female Supreme Court nominee can be appointed that cannot define what a woman is? Amen. Is this what they died for? So boys can use the girls' bathroom and girls can use the boys' bathroom. Is that what they died for? Did they die so our government can declare that the children no longer belong to the parents, but now they belong to the state? I'll tell you this over my dead body. My youngins don't belong to the state. Is this what they died for? So they could have a gay parade. A gay pride parade. While men that come home from the Vietnam War, they didn't have a parade. They were spit on and disgraced. You study that out, beloved. If you know anything about the New York Times, they'll tell you that's a lie. That they were not spit on, that they were not disgraced. But if you know anything about the New York Times, they're very good at lying.
Amen.
Is that what they died for? So we could have a parade and celebrate an abomination and spit on the men that went and fought for our freedom. I don't believe so. There are those, beloved, that would say, well, we're just free and everybody can just do. Let me tell you something, beloved. I used to think that somebody was going to fire a missile at America. But I don't believe it's even going to be necessary. I hate the disease called cancer. But cancer works from within. Most of the time it's going on while people don't even know what's going on. Until all of a sudden they have a symptom. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. The cancer is going on in America. We're being eat up. From the inside out.
Amen.
You say, well, where are the symptoms, Pastor? Where have you been for the last 15 minutes?
Amen.
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 Beloved, this morning, my heart is heavy. Jeremiah's heart was heavy. He said, is this why I delivered you? So you could commit these abominations. I had Brother Houston, he mentioned this to me. Last week, the store, Target, they lost $9.3 billion last week over backing the gays. Now let me stop and say something to you. Listen to me. If you want to get me real upset, just go me buy me something that says North Face on it. I'll give it back to you. I'll do it kindly. But I promise you I ain't wearing it. I'm not going to be associated with that mess. Let me tell you something about what's going on in America. Anheuser-Busch, the beer company, they're down over 30% right now. The only thing this wicked outfit understands is dollar bills. And God's people need to stop supporting the mess.
Amen.
I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. We can make a difference in this world that we live in. We can make a difference in prayer. We can make a difference where our money goes. Amen. You say, Pastor, in the text right there, they were talking about the temple and they were talking about stealing. Yeah, when a man says he's a Christian and he comes in the house of God and he's not willing to tithe, he's robbing God. You say, where did you get that? I try to get what I get from the Bible. It's in the book of Malachi. Will a man rob God? Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, I'm not changing the Bible. But when you refuse to do what God says to do, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing your family. I don't know about you, but there's one thing I despise, and that's a thief. In January of 2017, they broke into our house. I never felt so violated in all my life. Bob and Charity were living with us at the time. They stole over $5,000 of their stuff, and I believe it was about $27,000 worth of our stuff. Jewelry that my wife's grandmother had given her and her mother had given her. Silver dollars that she had saved. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, knock on my door and tell me you're hungry and I'll try my best to help you, but I despise a thief. Amen. Amen. I'm thinking when the law gets there, this will lead me into something else real quick. I'm thinking now, buddy, they're going to dust the handles and they're going to get some fingerprints. We're going to get this show on the road. They fill out a report. They're gone. We don't have time to do that. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. I'm just going to go ahead and say his name. You say you'll get in trouble. I stay that way.
Amen.
George Soros. Is supporting these, he's buying elections. These district attorneys. Are you listening to me? And beloved, they favor the criminal over the victim.
Amen.
Let me borrow your crutch, Brother Wayne.
Farm out.
Broke into my house and wife. I was pastoring over there. I lived in the parsonage right next to the church. I mean, there wasn't from here to that pulpit between the house and the church. Just a little breezeway to walk through. My wife had cleaned up the bedroom. And really, she always cleaned up the bedroom, but about twice a year, she cleaned off my dresser. I come in that night, I'd been to the hospital and I didn't get in till about 11 o'clock and I was going back to the hospital early the next morning. And I unloaded my pockets, Brother Larry, she was already in the bed. And she said, I just got that cleaned up, are you going to mess it up again? I looked at my wife, I said, hush woman, I said it'll be gone in the morning. They stole my billfold right at the foot of my bed. I didn't know I was a prophet. It was gone in the morning. Now, anybody with any sense at all knows better than to rob a Baptist preacher. They got $5. I thought about Green Acres. That'll be $5, Mr. Douglas. That's all they got. Amen. And I had to go get a new license. I had to go through a bunch of stuff. Well, here's why I got the crutch. I was ill. Y'all don't believe pastor can get ill? He's got flesh just like you do. He can get capital I, capital L, capital L. The law came. This man used to be a law enforcement officer. The law came and I described what happened. They came by all four of my children to get to my bedroom. And I told that man, that officer from Wise County, I said, sir, I'm going to tell you something. If I catch somebody in my house, I've got some medicine for them. And that man, that law officer, looked at me and he said, now, preacher, let me tell you something. You better not shoot somebody in your house. Evidently, he knew what I was talking about. He said, if you do, and they're not armed, he said, they will own everything you've got. And if they don't own it, their family will own everything you've got. Friend of mine, this was 25 years ago. He said, now preacher, what you need to do is you need to get you a ball bat And you need to tap him in the head when he comes around the corner. I looked at him, and I mean to tell you, if I was a betting man, my face was redder than that pew. It is red, ain't it? I'm colorblind. I told that officer this. I said, "Sir, am I supposed to turn the light on and say, 'Sir, excuse me, are you armed?'" I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell you things are upside down in our country. I said, "Sir, you know what I'll do?" I said, "I'll take your advice. But I said, I want you to know something. I'm not turning the light on." I said, "When he rounds that corner, I said, I'm going to splash his brains all over that wall." He looked at me, and now he's ill. I said, "You just remember this. Dead's dead." I said, "I ain't hitting him with the intention of him getting up and me fighting him. I said, when I swing, it's going to be a home run."
Amen. Amen.
We're upside down in our country.
Amen.
These men, is that what they died for? Christian, is that what Jesus died for, so you could go do whatever you want to do? Or do you like that verse that says, "I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price"? I want to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are the Lord's. And I'm glad I don't belong to myself. I remember the messes I made when I belonged to myself. I'm glad I belong to Him. The pages up there are loaded with more. But that's far enough this morning. I don't know what we'll do tonight. I've got another message on my heart. That's far enough this morning. You get the idea. Is this what they died for? Is this what they died for? I don't think so. I want to say this, and I'll shut up. It hadn't been too many years ago when lost people had more respect for our country, for the Bible, for preachers, for churches. There, it hadn't been too many years ago. People wouldn't come on a church property and do vile things. But they will now. They'll come on a church property and have sex on the parking lot. You say, "How in the world do you know that, preacher? I stopped it twice." That's why the parking lot's gated off, so they can't go back here and do whatever they want to do. It's sad. It's sad. I may show you tonight in the Scripture, but there's two passages of Scripture in these chapters right here. One of them's just down below where I read, where God told Jeremiah not to pray. It was too late to pray. Did you all know that it can come that place in America when it's too late to pray? I don't believe we're there, but it could come. I want to dwell on if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Brother Jones, we need a healing. We need help. I don't find myself asking God to bless America, but I do find myself asking God to help America. Help us, Lord. Help us. We have a great heritage. There's been a great price paid for our freedom. Not so we could commit abominations, Brother Ralph, but so we could serve the Lord. So we could help one another along the way. Father in heaven, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. God, I do pray that we would lay it to heart. Lord, when I looked up the definition of the word abomination and that word disgusting jumped out at me. So much is going on, Lord, in the world, even against nature. It's disgusting. It's disgusting that you can't have a movie without nudity and a movie without adultery and a movie without sodomy. God, I pray that you'd help us in our country to get back to the place of blessing. Lord, there is a remnant of God-fearing people in this country. Would you hear our prayer, Lord? Would you help us? Help us to never, ever forget Mount Calvary and the price that was paid, the battlefield and the price that men and women have paid for this great freedom that we enjoy. Help us, we pray. We're standing to our feet, going to have a song of invitation.